Father, we give you thanks for the opportunity to come here, Lord, and to study your word, Lord, and to look into, Lord, what your word would have us, Lord, with regards to managing our time, Lord, this valuable, precious gift you've given us. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes and our hearts to the truth of the scripture as it is revealed to us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we can only do this through your Son, Lord, who took our place, Lord, on the cross, died, Lord, the death we should have died. And Lord, because of his blood, Lord, we can come before you, and we thank you. We pray you would speak to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So I have to get used to this PowerPoint thing. It's like the second time I've ever done it, but I thought it would be kind of helpful for today's study. But So Ephesians 5:15 says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. As King James says, redeeming the time. That's another good way of interpreting it, making best use of the time. So Christians are, you know, we're supposed to be good stewards. You've heard that word probably a lot. Good managers of resources God's given us. And usually when we think of biblical stewardship, we usually think in terms of money, resources that God's given us, or even things like Adam in creation was a steward of the garden. This thing's really squeaky. I feel like I'm going to fall through one. So like Adam was a steward of the garden. He was managing God's creation, right? And so we think of finances. How do we use our finances to be good stewards of what God's given us? Be responsible. Do with it what he wants us to do with it. And those are all important, right? But something I think that's often neglected in the lives of Christians is stewardship of time. And maybe it's because time is not something that's tangible. It's not something you can touch, right? Like money. You know, you can see how much money you have in your bank. And you can kind of easily designate funds to go different places. You know, clicking buttons online or writing checks or whatever. You know, you can see if you're running low on money. And you can make an effort to get more of it somehow. Time is a little bit different. You can't see it, right? You can't touch it. It's immaterial. You have no idea how much time is left in your life. And people generally kind of live assuming, at least in their mind, maybe they won't say it, but they kind of live their life assuming they're going to have the maximum amount of life, you know, at least, you know, 100 years. So we kind of live in this, have this mentality that we're going to live to like the oldest we possibly can. You know, it's a little more difficult to manage all aspects of your time. And there are many variables that could interrupt your plans, you know. So time, managing time is tougher than managing other things like money. So you could be, you know, and the thing is also with time, once you've lost it, right, you can't get that back. You cannot go back in time. I don't think we'll ever get to that place. I don't think God designed creation that way, where we can go back in time. That would mess everything up. Once you lose time, that's it, right? And you could be completely dead broke, have $0, negative dollars in the bank, but still somehow find a way to get more in it, right? You can't do that with time. So everyone, you know, Christian or not, would agree that time is short, right? Our days on earth are few, generally speaking. Psalm 90:10, the years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80, yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Now, most people would agree to that, right? Probably aside from the fly away part, if you're, you know, an atheist or skeptic. But everybody would agree that it's short. And because it's short, life is short, and we don't have much time, That makes it very valuable, doesn't it? Anything that is rare typically has a lot of value to it. You know, rare gems are more valuable than the quartz crystal found in your backyard. That, you know, when you're a kid, you might dig it up and think you found something special. You crack it open, oh, it looks like a crystal, but it's really worthless because there's so much of it. You know, even in the realm of economics, right? In the workforce, a brain surgeon is going to get paid more than someone who works at a fast food restaurant, right? Because the brain surgeon possesses a rare skill, and it's therefore more valuable to the employers and to consumers. And as a result, there's a lot more fast food workers than there are brain surgeons. So basically, anyone can flip burgers. Very few can remove a brain tumor, you know, successfully. At least you don't want a fast food worker, guy from McDonald's, working on your brain. And so, because time is so short, there's not an overabundance of it. It is therefore incredibly valuable. In Psalm 39, 4 and 5, O Lord, make me know my end, and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. James 4:14. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Psalm 90:12. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. So throughout the Bible we see many verses pointing us to the brevity of life, the shortness of it, the value of it. Time is also extremely valuable because what we do with it really determines our eternal state. I remember, you ever see the old, now it's kind of old, movie Gladiator? I guess it was from the late 90s. No. Mm-hmm. One of the lines I remember, I really liked that movie when I was in high school. Gary probably wasn't born then. But he said, what we do in this life echoes in eternity. You remember that line? And that's true. You know, actually, it does more than echo, really. It determines it, right? It determines our eternity. If people are consumed with the things of this life and in this world and spend all their time consumed only with the here and the now, won't that have some kind of effect on their soul? Of course. And this applies to Christians as well, as we too are going to be held accountable for the things that God has given us. And that includes our time. So we need to see the value of time. We need to live with a sense of urgency, knowing that we don't have much time in this life, and that really eternity is at stake. Our souls are at stake, the souls of others are at stake, as is the glory of God and the kingdom of God. C.S. Lewis said, if you read history, you will find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were just those who thought the most of the next. And that's really what a biblical-based time management is all about. Thinking of heaven rather than earth. Being concerned with the kingdom of God more than earthly kingdoms or earthly pleasures. And of course, this doesn't mean that we just walk around all day daydreaming about heaven, you know, and neglect everybody around us, neglect people's physical needs and spiritual needs, things like that. It's quite the opposite, as C.S. Lewis said. If you really, you know, there's that expression, you're so heavenly minded, you're of no earthly good. But if someone's truly heavenly minded, you'll be the most earthly good. I've known people that really are of no earthly good because they're head, you know, in the clouds or whatever, and maybe just overthinking things, I don't know. But that's not really being heavenly minded. So if you're really heavenly minded, you are going to do good. And so if we value our short time here, we're going to naturally going to put our faith into action, as we looked at last week, being a doer of the word. And because time is so rare and of such value, we need wisdom, really, from God that will allow us to be good stewards of our time. Just like if you inherited some rare collection of jewels that's very valuable. You inherited a large sum of money. You need wisdom in order to spend that money properly and not waste it, not squander it, not waste the precious things you've been given. All right, so going back to Ephesians 5, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Notice those words, carefully, unwise, being wise, making the best use. It's all about wisdom. What do you think are some of the things in life that we deal with on a day-to-day basis in our society that can end up wasting our time the most? What are some of the things that you think can distract us and cause us to be poor managers of our time?
Entertainment, TV. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some
right.
Shopping.
Aimlessly browsing the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Social media. Too. Yeah.
The information highway, right?
Kids playing games all the time. You know,
video games.
Hunting.
Hunting.
Hunting deer. A lot of.
Wait, who are you singling out here?
A lot of richer people, richer than anyone in this room, they have to spend a lot of time maintaining all of their assets. It's like writing checks to a bunch of different people, doing their taxes, checking on their estate, going out and shopping.
Pampering themselves at the salon,
yeah,
or a spa, getting their nails done, mm-hmm, socializing with their friends, going out to lunch, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
The more you have in life, the more maintenance, the more attention you have to give it.
Yeah. Yeah. People think rich people have nothing to do. They have bigger headaches than us at times.
More money, more problems, they say. That would be mo money, mo problem.
Dirty work. They do the other.
We're doing the dirty work.
Yeah, obviously, like, in a collegiate setting, there are a lot of the people that I work with drinking and partying, which no one mentioned here.
Right.
Well, I mentioned socializing.
Drinking is...
Well, that's what they
you're
do.
You're socializing with a bottle.
I mean, a lot of college in general is a waste of time. A lot of it.
Well, there's some schools are just party schools, right?
Yeah.
They go just for party.
They learn nothing. They waste mommy and daddy's money.
My school.
Is that a party school?
Cornell.
Yeah.
People die every year of alcohol poisoning.
Really?
Yeah, but Cornell is not considered a party school. It's one of the top schools. It's considered one of the non-party schools.
That's why we're a party school, because everyone is so stressed out Monday through Friday that they need a release Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, they might not go there specifically for the parties, but they party when they're there.
Yeah.
I mean, even going to Christian college, you didn't have parties. People did that underground, I guess, but you had a lot of wasted time in the college setting. You know, people stay up late. That's one of the reasons why I hate living on campus. You stay up late till 1 a.m. People coming in and out of your room, playing video games, whatever. You know, there's a lot of time wasted.
Can I propose one more?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Idleness.
Yeah, that's one of the things we're going to talk about here. Yeah, idleness. Just
not doing.
Yeah, not doing anything. Just hanging out. You could say. Really, if you think about it, anything at all, good or bad, can be a waste of time. So most of the things you mentioned were not in and of themselves bad things, right? Getting drunk, obviously drunkenness is bad and a waste of time, but the internet is not an evil thing. TV is not an evil thing in and of itself, but they can all be wastes of time. Even necessary things like eating and sleeping, right, can turn out to be a waste of time if you don't do it correctly. I found this study done called 7 Time-Consuming Things an Average Joe Spends on in a Lifetime. Sleeping, 229, almost 230,000 hours you spend in a lifetime sleeping. Some of these, when you actually boil down the statistics, it's kind of shocking. Eating, 32,000 hours. Driving, 37,000 hours. This is for the average person. almost 38,000. Working 90,360 hours. Surfing the internet, 28,300 hours. Watching TV, 80,000 hours. That's 9 years. It works out to be 9 years of your life watching television. Imagine if you watched, if you said, okay, I'm going to take the years 21 to 30 and watch television 24/7. And then the rest of my life I won't watch TV. You'd be dead. But anyway.
Think about the people who surf the internet and watch TV.
At the same time.
Well, you know, and they do the internet and then they do TV. Then they do internet and they do TV.
Yeah.
Think about 9 years of watching Benny Hinn or something like that. Right?
Unless you watch 9 hours of, like,
Paul Washer
or something. You wouldn't be sitting there. You'd be out. Watching TV, then this one is kind of interesting. Cleaning. Woman, 12,896 hours. Men, 6,448 hours. Half. Which
caused.
Yeah, so men on average spend half the time cleaning. Half the time cleaning than women, which is ridiculous. It really should be women 18,000 hours.
How do they kill? Because that's exactly how women should be.
I guess
women should be 18,000 and men zero.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
really
funny.
I guess the way that works statistically is men statistically do half the amount of cleaning as women, which makes sense. That's hence the notoriety of the bachelor pad.
That's a medium.
There are some neat freaks that, you know, some of the men that are neat freaks, but I wish I had a little bit of, I wish I had a little bit more of a feminine side when it came to that. So, of course, all some of these things are necessary, right? Eating, sleeping, working, driving, really just about all of them will probably at one point be necessary for something. You may even have to watch TV at some point, even if you don't have a TV, you know, you might want to watch something at somebody's house or watch a news program or something. You might have to find out something, whatever. So at some point, probably all these things are necessary, even cleaning. But what we need to be careful about is really the amount of time that we spend on all those things. Is the amount of time we spend on each of these daily activities necessary? So there are definitely activities in life that we are more prone to waste time doing than others, right? I mean, everyday things that you have to do, like eating, sleeping, using the bathroom, etc., are areas where you're most likely doing okay, you know, as far as time management. Maybe not, but maybe you still might need to examine if you're sleeping too much or taking too long of a lunch break or something. I don't know, but or just like eating really, really slow. I don't know. John Wesley was a really good example of someone who had time management skills, biblically you could say, or he saw the value in time. John Wesley even did an experiment with regards to how much sleep he needed. So that he would, I read this example of his a couple of years ago and kind of stuck with me. But he wanted to know just how much sleep he needed, and he would time it so that he just had that amount and not any more, and try not to do less either. So he would wake up refreshed. So he did this experiment with an alarm clock, because they had the crank ones back then. And so it took him like a week or two to fine-tune his sleeping habits, so he knew just when to, so that if he woke up at a certain time, he knew at this time, it's probably like 8 or 9 o'clock or something, he would go to bed and he would fall right asleep instead of laying there in bed, trying not to, you know, you're wasting time. I mean, you could be that meticulous, and sometimes it doesn't matter, you might have something going on where you can't fall asleep. I also read a story once he canceled he had a late night dinner engagement with somebody. This famous author during those times in the 1700s. I don't remember who it was. I didn't recognize the name, but apparently it was somebody famous who would basically be like, if a famous movie star invited you over for dinner, and it'd be the equivalent. So this man invited John Wesley over for dinner, but it was like a later dinner, probably like 8 o'clock at night or something, and he declined it because it would prevent him from getting up early the next day for prayer, as he always did every day early for prayer, spend a couple hours at least in prayer. So he was very meticulous with his time management. He saw the value in time. I'm sure we could all try to fine tune our sleeping habits or eating habits, you know, to maximize the efficiency of time, but we all probably have some bigger fish to fry, so to speak. Probably the thing that wastes more time than anything else in the life of the Christian is, as was mentioned, entertainment, right? And I guess you could say media in general. Entertainment can be a blessing from God. God can be glorified in your use of entertainment. But just as with any gift from God, you can't abuse it. And if you do abuse it and you are consumed with it, then you begin to make an idol out of it, right? And some entertainment is just inherently sinful and we need to avoid it, right? There are some movies and things that we should never watch. Some entertainment can be edifying. Probably most of it is not. And so we need to guard our hearts and to be wise when it comes to entertainment. One recent study conducted found that the average American watches 5 hours of television per day. 5 hours a day. So that might be your statistic there. That might what it boils down to every day. I don't know. But in 2015, another study found that most Americans spend 9.5 hours per day consuming media of some kind. Internet, phone, you know, an app on your phone, even the radio. 9.5 hours, TV, that's a lot. So if you spend nearly 10 hours a day consuming media, how much of that is profitable, right, for either your soul, your body, or for someone else's soul? Specifically, we're dealing with the soul today. Now, you might have a job where your job is media all day long, but this is typically, you know, people are always listening to something, hearing something. Is it 9.5 hours a day? Is that profitable? What makes a study like this kind of challenging is that there's really not a formula to follow. To really make use of your time, you need wisdom from God. You need to then also follow your conscience, because some things are cut and dry. If you're watching 5 hours a day of television shows, I could tell you you're wasting time, right? There's certainly other things you could be doing, right? It's not doing anything for your soul. It's just taking your mind off of things that are profitable, heavenly things, and it's implanting thoughts of the world in your mind 24 hours a day, or I should say 5 hours a day or whatever. And so if you're always consumed with that, you know, and the more you watch media that's not edifying to you and makes you think about earthly things, the more you're going to, on top of that, be consumed with earthly worries. If you find yourself always worrying about temporary things and the problems of this life and not having this, not having that, or whatever, perhaps it's because you're wasting your time consuming worthless media. Psalm 101, David writes, "I will sing of steadfast love and justice to you, O Lord. I will make music. I will ponder the way that is blameless. O, when will you come to me? I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless." You notice how David is focusing here on praising the Lord, his holiness, being united with God. And because of his desire for God, his desire for intimacy with God, in turn he says, "I will not look upon anything that is worthless." So you need to ask yourself, are you regularly looking at and thinking about worthless things, trivial things, earthly things? A good question to ask yourself to ensure you are making good use of your time with regards to media and entertainment is to ask, is what is before my eyes of value, or is this worthless, as the psalmist says. What is this doing for my soul? Is this helping me to somehow commune with my Creator? Or is it just, is this becoming like a drug? You know, it can just help me escape from my problems. Another big time waster for Christians, as you said, Gary, was idleness. First big one is entertainment. The second one is definitely idleness. And we could probably go make tons of lists here. We're just going to kind of scratch the surface. People who are idle or lazy, really, when it comes to spiritual matters, do not see time as precious. They don't see time as valuable. And idleness will stunt and slow down your spiritual growth. And one of the reasons why I was thinking about this is because we were talking about spiritual growth, so this is kind of tying into this. If you're idle, you're not going to grow spiritually. It's going to cause your soul to suffer. It'll cause the souls of your loved ones to suffer. Proverbs 19:15. There's many proverbs similar to this. Slothfulness casts into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Of course, that's true in the physical realm, right? Common sense. If you are lazy and don't want to work, you're going to be hungry. If you, on the spiritual side, it's the same. You are going to be hungry spiritually. You're going to be malnourished spiritually if you are slothful, if you are idle. And so Paul says in Romans 12, do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. All right, life is too short. Time is too short to just sit idly by. There is so much kingdom work to be done. There are many souls in need of the gospel. There's so much wickedness and injustice in the world that need to be put under the feet of Christ, as 1 Corinthians would describe it. And kingdom work is not going to get done by consuming large amounts of television, most of the time anyway. Unless you're working at a television station, you're taking dominion by, you know, working, and you have to watch all this TV to try to change it somehow, I don't know. But by and large, we're not really accomplishing anything useful for God by watching television in way too much. Christians never become idle because there's no work to do. You know, if you're one of our friends I was visiting in Arizona, he wasn't a Christian, so I don't expect anything better, but he said at work it was slow, so he watched a movie while he's at work, which is the boss is okay with, but that's like idle time. I got nothing to do, so I'll just watch a movie. That shouldn't be in the Christian life. We don't really have nothing to do. Like you might find at work, I got nothing to do. You might have nothing to do one day at work with regards to your job, but you can always find something with regards to Christianity, kingdom work, whatever, spiritual growth. There's always something to do in that regard. So we don't have. It's not that there's no work to do, it's we don't want to do work. That's what happens. We give into the flesh, and we don't want to go do work, spiritual work. And I don't necessarily mean going out and evangelizing every time, going handing out tracts or whatever. Of course, that is work too, but I'm talking spiritual work, which could mean studying the scriptures, praying, doing things like listening to sermons. Something that's feeding your soul, right? Something that's going to make you more effective. Especially nowadays, we have so much to feed on in our modern Western world. I mean, we talk about how much media we consume. You can consume a good amount of media, and it can be helpful to you. There's certain websites where you can listen to sermons, you know, sermon audio, sermon index, YouTube even. There's a lot of great stuff on there. And so many of these types of media would prove to be beneficial to your soul and to the souls of others. So spiritual work could also mean not just intaking things for your own growth, but serving others, right? Helping people with various physical needs, spiritual needs, things like that. Now, another time waster that goes along with idleness is idle talk, right? Just like idleness, you would accomplish nothing. Right? Idle talk is the same. And so there's nothing really edifying spiritually. There's nothing about idle talk that will fuel your spiritual growth. Talking about trivial things, nonsense, nonsensical things. This is especially true when we gather together, right, as the body of Christ with other Christians. During the week, we may be surrounded by unbelievers, right, and all they want to talk about are the things of the world, which are not evil in and of themselves. You know, sports. People try to talk to me about sports. I can't relate, so that doesn't really tempt me, because I'm just like, I don't watch sports, so. Politics, that can easily grab me. You know, hobbies, whatever, movies, things like that. They're not wrong in and of themselves, but we're bombarded with this all week long. But when we get together, you know, with other believers, especially on Sundays, why don't we talk about the things of God more, right? If you gather together with other believers and don't talk about spiritual things, that's not even fellowship. That's just hanging out. And that becomes idle time. Doesn't mean everything in the conversation has to be some deep theological truth, but it should be spiritual, should be edifying to one another, encouraging to one another. So when we have our so-called fellowship lunches, we call them, we should be really fellowshipping, talking about the things of God in some way, shape, or form, so that we can edify each other, encourage one another in the Word. And if we're honest, we could say that from what I've experienced, it's rarely the case, right? It's easy to just start talking about whatever, and it becomes idle talk. Same thing like before, you know, church service, we should be focusing on the things of God, preparing our hearts for the message. After the service, you know, we can talk about the sermon, things like that. So even in our so-called fellowship with other believers, we can waste our time with idle talk. And Jesus said that we're going to be judged for every idle word, as the King James says, a careless word that we say. And in that same passage, a few verses up in Matthew 12, he says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Right, so if you're constantly talking about trivial, earthly things, what we would call idle talk, there's a problem in your heart. Either the most obvious would be, or say the worst case scenario, you're not converted, you need to be converted, or you need to grow spiritually, right? So if you begin to use your time valuably and use your time to pursue God, pursue the things of God, pursue spiritual growth, you should see that idle talk, that desire for idle talk, transition to more of a desire for things of God, heavenly talk, things of God. So it's important that we value how we spend our time in fellowship with one another, talking with Christians as well. So let's look at some practical applications to help us make use of our time. How can we start to manage our time well? First, the most obvious thing is to begin valuing and managing your time now. That may seem overly simplistic, but I think that's very important to think about. You have to start doing it now. You may look back at 10 years ago and say, I wasted a lot of time. You might have wasted a lot of time the last year. You may look back last month, I wasted a lot of time. Last week, yesterday, you could say, I wasted time today. And certainly if we're honest, we will acknowledge that we could have spent our time doing things that were more important, more eternal significance, more eternal value. But you can start today, right now, to manage your time more effectively for the glory of God, for the advancement of His kingdom, and for the good of your own soul. Psalm 119:60 says, I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. Don't put it off. Don't procrastinate. That is, in and of itself, is really kind of a form of idleness. You don't want to do it now. You're just going to put it off to tomorrow. and it's not going to happen. So seize the day now. Start using your time wisely now. Secondly, be sure to improve what Jonathan Edwards calls your holy time. Your holy time. In a sermon he preached called The Preciousness of Time and the Importance of Redeeming It, Edwards writes, "Be especially careful to improve those parts of time which are most precious. Though all time is very precious, yet some parts are more precious than others, as particularly holy time is more precious than common time. Such time is of great advantage for our everlasting welfare. Therefore, above all, improve your Sabbaths, and especially the time of public worship, which is the most precious part. Lose it not, either in sleep or in carelessness, inattention, and wandering imaginations." Do you make the most of the time you have on Sundays, or even right now, on Wednesday night, right? Even though it wouldn't really be our Sabbath, per se. Are you making sure you're paying attention during the sermons and the Bible studies? Just showing up to the services of the church does not mean automatically that you are there using your time wisely. You could check your brain out at the door, or your heart, I should say. You can be physically at church, but your mind and your heart is somewhere else, right? Also, make the most of your personal holy time, right? Focus on prioritizing private prayer, and in that time of private prayer, you want to make sure your time is effective, right? Let Scripture guide your prayers. Focus on praying effectively and according to the will of God. So we can easily waste our time by neglecting prayer altogether, right? And that may be the case with sleep or some other things that distract us from spending time in prayer. And even if we do make time for prayer, you could waste that time, right? Because we could be praying in a way that is that God doesn't hear us, because if we're asking not according to His will, we're asking according to our own lusts, right? As the Bible teaches. A man like John Wesley managed his time well and prioritized prayer. So did Jonathan Edwards. many other great saints of old were known for this. But, of course, the one who was better managing his time and prioritizing prayer was Jesus himself. Jesus saw time as precious. He saw it as a valuable thing, a rare thing. Right? He had 33 years, very short life, to accomplish the work that his Father called him to do. In Mark chapter 1, it's recorded kind of a particularly busy day that Jesus had. In fact, the book of Mark itself is really a good indicator of just how valuable time is and how quickly it is. Because if you look throughout the book, it's always immediately, immediately, immediately. There's always these things happening. It's like snapshots of one thing to the next throughout Mark. There's one day in Mark chapter 1, Jesus was teaching in the synagogue. Later that day, he healed Peter's mother-in-law. Then at sundown, it says, I guess word got out that he can heal people. It says the whole city was gathered outside his door. And they brought everyone who was sick or demon-possessed, and then he healed them. So the whole city, obviously, is hyperbole, right? So there was a ton of people gathered outside the door. And so it likely took several hours for him to go through everyone, heal them, get rid of the demons, exorcise the demons. So this happened at sundown. He likely went to bed very late. And then did Jesus then sleep in and get some extra rest? What did he do? It says in Mark 1:35, rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Jesus made the best of his, we would call, or Edwards would call, holy times. And so we would, of course, do well to learn from his example, the supreme example. Thirdly, improve the use of your spare time. Improve the use of your spare time. Everyone has some spare time to some degree, right? Some more than others, depends on the season of your life. You know, if you have young children, you know you have very little spare time. I've never been more busy in my life. That's just the season of that I'm in. The work and then the kids, it's busy, right? A lot more busier than I was when I was in college, and you have all this spare time. Maybe you're retired, you have more spare time. Sometimes, at least with myself, I know I found that the more spare time you have, sometimes the more difficult it is to redeem that time, to really value, see the value in time when you have this spare time. You can easily waste it on idleness or whatever. Just like if you had an overabundance of money, right? You're likely not going to be as frugal if you only had if you had a lot of money. You wouldn't be as frugal if you had $1 million if you only had, you know, $1,000 to live off of. So you're going to watch every penny. When you have more of it, you're more likely to just kind of waste it. Some are not like that. Some are kind of the opposite, but I think by and large, you're more likely to waste something that you think you have an abundance of. And so you can easily become idle when you have a lot of spare time. So it's important that when we have free time, time where we don't have an obligation to be somewhere, to do something, to use that time in a way that glorifies God. So in that spare time that you find yourself in, make sure you don't lose sight of the value of time, as we are prone to do when we don't have immediate obligations. It's very easy when you have spare time to just waste it away with idleness, with entertainment, with idle talk, etc. So purpose it in your heart not to waste those hours or days where you are free from obligations. Because that's really where the test comes, because when you're working or you have to do things with your family, necessary obligations or whatever your obligations might be, as varied as it may be, that's kind of a no-brainer. You have to get this done, and that's it. But the real test comes is when you have quiet time or you have nothing going on. What are you doing with that time? Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. It says the days are evil. That's why we should make use of our time. Because the days are evil kind of gives an urgent feel to this, right? That the judgment of God is right around the corner. The days are evil. Doesn't mean he's going to wipe out the earth, but it's amazing that God tarries so long. And because the days are evil, you know, people are going to, even sin itself causes us to die, right? The wages of sin is death. Life is short because the days are evil. And so there's a real urgency that we need to see with regards to making good use of our time. Because our souls are at stake. The souls of other people are at stake. The souls of our loved ones and our neighbors. So we need to value our time.
So that's our responsibility then, that God gives us, to look carefully and make the best use of our time.
Yeah. It's a heavy responsibility, because there's nothing more valuable than time.
Yeah.
You know, so it's even more valuable than money, if somebody gives you money. I want to end on just asking a question we can discuss. What are some things that you could say are never wastes of time? I'm talking about things that can easily waste your time. What are some things you've experienced that are not wastes of time, provided that you're not doing something outside the will of God? So let's say, you know, you're not neglecting one duty for something else. So if I neglect my family and leave them, you know, by themselves for a week because I'm studying the Bible and praying, I've neglected to be a father. But I could easily deceive myself and think, oh, I've spent so much time. No, I've wasted my time because I've neglected them. So, provided you're not doing something outside the will of God, what are some things you could say are never waste of time when you do that? Because you could say TV can certainly be a waste of time, or social media, or phones, or whatever.
Outside of just, you know, studying scripture and vandalizing, taking necessary sleep.
Anything.
Taking necessary sleep is not a waste of time.
No. Right. Well, actually, I guess going beyond the necessities of life. Right. Yeah, because I mean,
waste of time to study scripture.
Right. You never study the Bible and say, I should have, darn it, I missed that TV show. You know, I should have done that instead.
So the seed is never a waste of time.
Talking to your children. Sometimes we're up really late at night just talking about, you know, important things in life. It's part of training them up. And it's like, yeah, we're missing out on some sleep, but you need to talk about certain things.
Yeah.
You know? It's important.
Mm-hmm. Right, even just spending time with your children and discipling them, encouraging them, you know, in the faith, or rebuking them. Mm-hmm. Disciplining your children.
Yeah.
Never a waste of time. Yeah, so some things, I mean, I could easily waste my time with my kids too. Because there can be a fine line of, like, I mean, kids are always wired to have fun all the time, but you have to find that balance too, right, Wes? Nothing wrong with us enjoying some fun time together. So, when you are pouring your life into children, there's more value to that. Like, there's actually value to me watching a movie with my kids and just being a dad to them than there is, like, me watching a movie by myself, you know? I find more value because there's some kind of, I mean, some kind of value and association there. What are some other things that are not wastes of time, usually?
Praying is not a waste of time.
I don't think on our deathbeds we'll say, I should have prayed less,
yeah.
You know?
Seeking God, seeking His will. Sorrowing over sin. Shedding tears.
I want to propose an opposition. I would want to make the argument that there is no answer to your question. Even our most holy offerings of times before God will be stained and marred in some sense by sin, whether it's wandering or vain imagination, an impure heart, impure motive, understanding incorrectly, being unwise in how we do it, or whatever it is.
Hmm.
So in one sense, you know, a mature pastor studying scripture is a good use of time. He's preparing not only his own soul, but he's preparing himself and better equipping himself for the strength of the spirit to feed the flock. But at the same time, any pastor would admit that even when he's doing something as holy as studying the word, his heart, his mind are not always fully where they ought to be.
Yeah.
So it depends how extreme we're taking your question.
Right.
Because you kept saying over and over again that are never wasted time, the answer, there's nothing. Even necessary sleep could be stained by sin and end up being an improper use of time. Even necessary eating, we're never just doing one thing at a time.
Right. I guess, yeah, if you look at it that intently, yes. I mean, even in the midst of our praying, our minds are going to be wandering. But
that wouldn't make it a waste of time, because there's a wandering or something enters your...
You will have, let's put it like this, you'll have wastes of time within your things that are not wasted.
I would agree.
So, because we're fallen, sinful creatures, yeah, your prayer time is never going to be 100%. I didn't waste a second of my time. But I guess what I'm getting at is basically when you look back and the activity you did as a whole. Right. Not that you spent time doing a thing that was spiritual and edifying in the will of God, but within that endeavor, whatever it was, certainly you've fallen short in some degree. Like we went, a few of us went to Nassau Community College the other day, and we handed out tracts. About 500 tracts or so. And when I look back, I was like, that was a waste of time. Did I waste some time there? Certainly, because I'm a sinful man, and I probably let a few people walk by, and I wasted that opportunity. But when I look back at it, I'm going to say, yeah, I should have just slept till noon, or I should have watched the movie instead, you know? So, I mean, like, when you look back at things and you're you say, I'm glad I spent that time doing that. I mean, I have looked at time in prayer, and I'm like, you know, I was wandering a lot. My head was wandering a lot. So, yeah, you might even have some regret within that, but the activity itself, I should say, without looking too deep into the details of it.
Our imperfections in whatever we do would not say that
the entire thing.
Thing was a waste of time. I'm thinking of what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He said, now if any man build upon this foundation, which is Christ, gold, silver, precious stones, or then wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, that day of judgment, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall test every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he has built thereon, he shall receive a reward. That's the gold, the silver, the precious stones. But if a man's work be burned, that's the wood, hay, and stubble, he shall suffer loss, but yet he himself shall be saved, so as by fire. So in other words, God's like, I say, well, you wasted your life, see? Because you blew it here, you blew it there, you missed that opportunity. It wasn't a wasted life, a wasted moment in that productive life. A waste of time, a waste of week, but not a waste of life.
You'll still make it, but
all the waste of time will be burned up. That's the wood, hay, and stubble. All the time we spend in front of watching television is going to be burned up. Can't take that with you to heaven unless you're watching something.
Well,
spiritual for the soul. Wood, hay, and stubble.
But
I see that as a lot of our time that's wasted is the wood, hay, and stubble, is what I'm trying to say.
Right, yeah, I don't know. I think that passage, isn't that more about, like, the teachers that are putting on top of, like...
Well, yeah, it applies for that, but also upon your own life. Every man should take care of how he builds upon that foundation.
Right.
Not just his teachers, but it says every man, okay? And he says, know ye not that you are the temple of God, right after that. So I think it fits for both.
Even if we don't want to see it in that passage, there's plenty of parables Christ tells where your rewards will be according to your deeds.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, so I mean, I think there's kind of a mentality that Christians have that, okay, I'm going to make it past the main judgment, I'm going to heaven, so everything's good. No, but we're going to give an account. There's going to be, I think, especially for teachers... Right, there's going to be like a confrontation for us to say, like, what did you do with what I gave you? And so there, even though like we look at heaven as being this perfect place, and we're not going to shed a tear, but there is going to be, you know, a judgment of believers to some degree. Not that we're going to get tossed into hell, but when the rewards are given, and this is kind of like a thing. I think it's kind of hard to understand how it exactly is going to work, but we're going to give an account for the time that we were given here and what we did with it. And so I think too often times we don't think about that. We just kind of think like well, I'm in, so I get to avoid hell, so it's all good.
And people who profess to be Christian think that way probably aren't on their way to heaven. But, no, it's like what I was saying earlier, it says it in Revelation 2, that people will be judged and their places in heaven will be according to what they've done. Like, one of the most famous parables Jesus told was the parable of the 10 minas, or the piece of gold, where he went away and the first guy said, I took your 10 and made another 10, I took your 5 and made another 5, and the last guy buried in the sand, and Jesus said, have him come before me and have him slaughtered.
Yeah.
That last part of some probably people who aren't interested in improving their time and aren't interested in improving what God has given them. But as, you know, Jonathan Edwards did a pretty famous sermon called Levels of Happiness in Heaven, where he tried to explain what does it mean for there to be a hierarchy in heaven, which the Bible clearly portrays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There is a level of suffering in hell, right? Some will receive more stripes, some less stripes. So the reverse is true. Some will receive more rewards, more joy, be closer to God.
Yeah, so I mean, it's like that parable. If God's given us something and trusted us with something, we're going to be given an account for it. So whether it's, you know, he gives us money, there's going to be an account for what did you do with that. There's going to be whatever resources he gives us. But what did you do with the time you were here? You know, are we maximizing the value of this gift God's given us?
And what ought to help us is to realize that we're all living on borrowed time.
Yeah.
We should have been slaughtered a long time ago, all of us in this room. Even you, Wesley. But it's the blood of, right, the Christ's blood was shed for a lot of things. And to buy us time on this earth before heaven was one of them.
Hmm.
And if we realize that our time is a blood-bought gift, we'll spend it differently.
Right.
Michael, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, but this I say, brethren, time is short. So this time is short. It remains that both they that have wives be as though they had none. But those that have wives, be as though they have not.
Yeah.
All right,
and they that weep as though they weep not. No, people that weep, oh, I don't have this, you know, oh, I lost that. Don't forget it. Don't weep. And they that rejoice as though they rejoice not. Oh, I just won, you know, this or won that. Don't rejoice. And they that buy as though they possess not. They that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. Why? Because time is short. So even those that have buy and sell, as if they do not possess it. Those that are married, then there are times when you have to sacrifice. Be away from your family, right? Be away from your children. Give up your children. You know, go to the mission field. You know.
Well,
they may come where you have to put your children on a plane. You never see them again. They're going to Africa or something.
Well, when they get older, hopefully.
Well, yeah, no, maybe.
You can't win.
Who knows what God can do with them?
No, but like I said before, at the same time, like, you can't lay the children on the altar of your ministry. So I wouldn't say, goodbye, family, I'm going to Africa, you're on your own. Then I would neglecting to be a father and husband.
Your children may put them on a plane one day, and you may have to give them up to the mission field as men and parents.
When they're older.
Of course,
yeah, yeah.
Not now.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You wouldn't put them on a plane now, we'll be frank. When God calls them to the mission field.
Yeah.
You may want them, you know, like when I was ministering in South Korea, I was at this very wealthy elder's house, elder of a very big church in South Korea. And he was very angry at his son because the tradition was his son was to take over, eldest son was to take over his business. And the son was called to the ministry instead, to be a pastor. Okay? And the father was just furious at his son. He was not willing to give up his son for the ministry. So that's why Paul says, you know, those that be married as if they're not, there are times I've had to leave my family, you know, to go overseas and do the work. Because time is short. So there are sacrifices that one has to make too.
Mm-hmm. It's all a matter of perspective. When we're consumed with the things of the world, that's where you're going to spend your time, you know. And so, like I said, there's no set formula, but for, you know, spend this amount of time doing this, that amount doing that. But we really need to ask God for wisdom and how we're spending our time, and that we may use it wisely, because it is a precious gift. So if you inherit, someone dropped $1 million on your lap, I hope you would pray to God and say, Lord, give me wisdom with this. You have time, which is even far more valuable. So we need to seek God for wisdom.
And I guess another practical thing. If you were to get $1 million, odds are you would probably open up Excel and break on a spreadsheet where you're, what you're going to do with all the money. And practically, scheduling time is also very helpful. But you just say, all right, I'm going to spend my time more wisely. But you don't
kind
have a final idea of how you're doing it. It's too general. You say, I'm going to get up at 6, and I'm going to pray till 7 o'clock. You know, then in the hour between, you know, my job and when I'm taking the train, I'm going to read scripture. You know, the 1 hour after dinner, I'm going to write. The hour after that, I'll, you know, watch a sermon or something. It's going to be different for everyone, but actually scheduling time and disciplining yourself and sticking to a regimen, practically probably one of the best ways to start doing any of this.
Yeah. Start systematizing it.
Especially if you can do it without a computer.
Yeah, you don't have to use Excel. It's helpful as it is.
I don't even know what Excel is.
It's a spreadsheet. Yeah.
You're not kidding.
No.
When you open up your Microsoft Office, and you see PowerPoint, right,
yeah,
down on that list, you'll see Excel.
Spreadsheet, you, put
you have no
there.
Use for it. It's for, like, finances.
I have no finances. I'm the old one got to take the clip one.
That's your better half's job. All right, any other thoughts?
I want to excel in other things.
So spiritual.
Yes.
All right.
That's the homework. Make a schedule. You have to prove your
yes. Job. I better do it myself. All right. All right, let's close in prayer. Lord, I pray you would teach us, Lord, to number our days. Lord, that we would see that really our lives are but a breath. Lord, that we are here for a short time. We're like a vapor. Lord, even if we live to 120, Lord, they're short. They're nothing in comparison to eternity. So Lord, as Jonathan Edwards used to say, stamp eternity on our eyes. Lord, may we be more heavenly minded. May we store up treasures in heaven, not on earth. Lord, may we make the most of this precious gift of life, of time that you've given us, time that we don't deserve, time that was bought by your blood. Or may we really value it, Lord, and see time for what it is, Lord, and spend every moment we can, Lord, for your glory. Lord, so give us wisdom. Lord, teach us to number our days. Lord, help us to make use of the time, for the days are evil. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.